Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning that, Lord, just a great opportunity and joy to worship you and sing songs, proclaiming who you are, and as we sung some songs about grace, and as we've been talking about grace, obviously the grace that you have shown to us, but also as we talked about last week, continue to look at this with the grace that you call us to show to each other. So, Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us open hearts to hear your message, and Lord, help us not just to think about the other person sitting next to us, or down the street, or across the aisle, but Lord, help us to look at ourselves first and allow your spirit to speak to us. So thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, James and Bridget walked into the worship center for the first time at Fellowship Church. I don't know if we're in Fellowship. Fellowship Church. And around them were, they saw families and older folks, even some young families that were there. All of them were dressed nice. Just nice pants, and some of the women were in dresses, and most of the men, almost all the men, they had short hair, like many of us, honestly. And James and Bridget, they came in, and they had both of them had black jeans on and t-shirts. Matter of fact, James had hair down past his shoulders, and he had a tattoo all down, almost a sleeve tattoo all the way down there. And Bridget, she came in, and she was in dress, nice pants, t-shirt, and she had earrings, about three or four in each ear, and she had one in her nose and one on her lip. As they came in, they sat down, and they kind of came early to return to this church. They sat down, and people were coming in and kind of look at them and just walk and go to their seats. And many people came in and walked, and just kind of sat down. There were still 5 minutes before the service, and yet no one came and talked to them. Matter of fact, there was one couple kind of and then there was kind of a youth section that was over one section, and the kids are kind of looking over, kind of laughing or kind of pointing. Look at that tattoo, all those earrings. And there was one couple, though, in their 50s that saw them come in and walked over to them, began to talk, met them, and found out that James and Bridget were actually strong Christians. Matter of fact, they worked downtown with troubled youth and had a great ministry. Yeah. Only one couple out of the 100 or so people there at that church talked to them before or after church. Many of them, most of them, were simply kind of looking and staring, making judgments, comparing themselves to this couple. Except for that one 50-year-old couple who, I believe, lived out the grace of God. I believe that in some way, in a real way, they were givers of grace. You see, as a church, as the church, as people of God, we have a choice in many different ways in a variety of different areas in our lives. Choices where we can choose one or two things we're going to talk about. You're going to hear about it a lot. A choice to be either a grace giver, or a term that I made up, a grace killer. You can either give grace or you can kind of kill grace. God comes to us with two different types of ways that he shows grace, that we receive and give grace. We talked about them already. We talked about this vertical idea of grace, right? Vertical to God. God gives us grace. Grace. None of us, all of us have sinned. None of us deserve his love, right? But he offers us that grace. And then when we receive it, he says he wants us to show what we call horizontal grace to each other in our different relationships. As we talked about last week, God calls us to give grace away, right? Give grace away. A great passage that I think explains it pretty well, a good description of a grace giver, is 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." In other words, what actually Paul's saying there is, the grace that you've received, that God has given you so much, it should abound in your life so much that basically all that you do should exert that same grace. It should show itself in every good work. See, God's grace to us allows us to live out and to give out grace. That's horizontal grace. Grace givers. I love that. Grace givers. Unfortunately, The reality is, for many people, they need to Google our church. Even those who are Christians, we can become, at times, the opposite. We can become grace killers. We can become steeped in kind of a judgmental attitude, or steeped in some call of legalism. Of course, probably all of us are thinking and saying, well, that's not me, right? We would hope and think that we're not one of those people. But here's a question that I want us to ask this morning to you, that allow the Holy Spirit to ask. Am I more of a grace giver, or honestly, am I a grace giver? Do we have grace to differ? That's kind of the title. Right? Do we have grace to differ with each other on issues that are non-essential to our faith? We're going to talk about that in a moment. You see, it's not just a 21st century problem either. It's something that's been around the church since the very beginning. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, the book of Romans. And he discussed this issue. It was a pretty big issue for the church there in Rome. He dealt with this issue of grace givers versus grace killers. He doesn't exactly use that terminology, but I think you'll see that that's what he was talking about, what he was dealing with there in the church. So, I'm going to read to you from Romans 14. Don't read. Put down, if you have your Bible, it's great. Put it down, because you're going to be totally lost. Because this is a paraphrase, okay, from the Message. It's a great one, I believe. That's why I want to read it, because it kind of puts it in today's vernacular, adds some extra things that we kind of relate to. So listen to it, and then we'll look at the NIV here in a little while. But it's a little bit of a long passage, but I think you could follow along. Romans 14. Paul says this: welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way that you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something that you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong in opinions but weak in faith. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. For instance, a person who has been around for a while might well be convicted or convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background might assume all Christians should be vegetarians and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they failed to criticize you what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God will handle that without your help. Or say one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy, and another thinks that each day is pretty much like the other. There are good reasons either way. So each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. What's important is always, is that if you keep a holy day, keep it for the Lord's sake. If you eat meat, eat it for the glory of God and thank God for your prime rib. If you're vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for your broccoli. Now I got to pause there for a second. Because last night, it was pretty funny. Actually, I told the guys I was going to tell this because it's a spontaneous. Okay? But last night at Men's Retreat, the best thing about Men's Retreat, every man that goes there knows, is the food. It is, because we have amazing food. So last night, we had steak and ribs. Each person got a half a rack of ribs. And of course, there was salad and stuff like that. And so we were kind of joking. Some guys took the steak. Some took the ribs, I took the ribs, I'm a ribs guy, and Dale took the steak, he may have taken both, actually. And some of us, I gotta give Ken Henry, he took a salad first, and so I was looking at Dale, because Dale doesn't eat. I'm telling you some personal things, they don't care, I'm sure, but Ken goes in and takes a salad, and that's all he's eating from the beginning. So Dale's kind of looking at him, Ken's looking at Dale. And I have these passages in mind. I'm going, hey guys, don't judge each other. Hey, and don't judge me because I got the ribs and you got the steak. And we were kind of laughing and stuff like that. Ken went, just to please Dale, he went and got a steak as well. He didn't want to offend his brother. But it's interesting, as you look at this, this is kind of what's happening in the church. And we're looking at it. Now, basically, some said, we're vegetarians, we don't eat meat because of reasons. Others said, no, I need to eat whatever I want. And you know what? They thought whoever was doing the opposite was not right. They were judging. So, I love how he says it here. You know, if you like your prime rib, enjoy it for the glory of God. If broccoli, do that, you know. And he says here, continues on, none of us is permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God we are answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between. Not each other. We're not accountable to each other. We're accountable to God. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. So where does that leave you when you criticize? Where does that leave you when you condescend to a sister? It says, I'd say it leaves you looking pretty silly or even worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side in the place of judgment facing God. Your critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve your position there one bit. Matter of fact, read for yourself in Scripture. It says, as I live and breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will tell the honest truth that I and only I am God. So tend to your name. You've got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can contaminate it. But if you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, you're no longer a companion with them in Christ's love, are you? These, remember, are persons for whom Christ died. Would you risk sending them to hell over an item in their diet? Don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion for soul poisoning. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that, you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing the God above and proving your worth to the people around you. So let's agree to use our energy in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't break them down by finding fault. You're certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served and not served at supper to wreck God's word among you, are you? I said it before, I'll say it again. All food is good, but it can turn bad if you use it badly, if you use it to trip others up and send them sprawling. When you sit down to a meal, your primary concern should not be to feed your face, but to share the life of Jesus. So be sensitive and courteous to others who are eating. Do not say or do things that might interfere with the exchange of God's love. Cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. Interesting. Love the message. It's kind of fun. So let me give you a little background. Some of you may know this, some of you may be brand new. A little background on what's going on in the church there in Rome, and then we'll bring it back right back to where we are today as well. As some of you know, in the Old Testament, God set down regulations, rules, about what the Jews could and couldn't eat, right? If you read the Old Testament, like Leviticus stuff, you see some of those things. And there were certain foods that they weren't allowed to eat also because they might have been offered to idols in the different temples. But then, if you read the New Testament, you come to Acts chapter 10, and you see that God comes to Peter, and he proclaims to Peter that all foods now are clean. That basically this matter of what kind of foods you eat, that's not what's important. It's ultimately the relationship with Christ. But many Jewish Christians had grown up following those guidelines, like, you know, many of us grew up with different rules, right? Different expectations, how we grew up in our families and our churches. And so many of them had these things. They were used to not eating certain things. And so they continued in that tradition. They felt convicted not to eat certain meats, certain kinds of things. So another group, of course, were more the Gentile Christians, those who didn't grow up in that. And they had no, you know, they had always eaten that kind of meat their whole life. And Peter now said, you know, it's okay to eat whatever you want. And so they had no problem with that. But you know what happened? It wasn't so much what someone was eating or not eating. The problem was how they interacted with each other when they sat down at the table, when they saw each other. See, one thought what they were doing was right, and the other was wrong. And the other group thought what they were doing was right, and the other group was wrong. They clashed. They got angry at each other. They judged one another. This group that had a strong conviction to eat meat kind of looked down on the others who wouldn't, and you're not very free in your faith. And those who didn't want to eat it looked at them and said, you guys aren't following God the way he really wants. So it's interesting here. We see both groups were not willing to have grace to differ. in some of these non-essential, so fellow believers also, there was another thing, they had different opinions, was on different days, kind of holy days. See, the Jews, some of the Jewish Christians still worshiped on the Sabbath, on Saturday, right? Keep the Sabbath holy. While others, kind of the Gentile Christians, those who weren't born Jewish, most of them worshiped now on Sunday, the Lord's Day, when he resurrected. And a lot of the Jews continued to celebrate Passover and a lot of the feasts. And once again, both groups were looking at the other as, man, you're messing up. And knowing that, I was like, you really aren't a Christian. And you probably shouldn't even come to my church. That's how that got. Paul realized he had to deal with this, or else the church was going to be splintered, continue to splinter. You see, the issue wasn't food, wasn't special holidays. The issue, Paul says, even though he didn't use that word specifically, but you see here, the issue is grace. The issue is grace. As we look at Jesus' teachings, we see that these issues that he's talking about were essentials for following Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus talked about some of those things. He said those things are important. What kind of food you eat? He says it goes in, comes out. You know, what day you worship? But sometimes, you know what? We make a big deal out of small things. Sometimes we want people to be exactly like we are, how we grew up, what we think. And sometimes, many times, it can lead to legalism or certainly a judgmental attitude. You see, as a church, as individuals, we have a choice to be grace givers or to be grace killers. And I believe there's a number of truths here we can learn from Romans chapter 14 that God had Paul write down. See, on non-essential issues, the Lord wants us to show grace to one another, to be grace givers. Again, this is key. I talked about this a couple times. Non-essential issues, okay? In other words, things that God doesn't directly tell us in the Bible, this is what you should or shouldn't do, or this is wrong or right. We can see some truths here of what it looks like to be a person who is a person of grace or a person who tends to be stuck in judgment for other believers. In verses 1 through 4, we see basically a grace killer, someone who always compares themselves to others, to those, especially those who are different from us. I mean, stop and think about it. If I'm honest with myself and I was thinking about this, it's hard to get along with people who are different than you, isn't it? It's sometimes hard. Most of us prefer sameness, predictability, common interests. We like people who wear the same clothes, kind of clothes that we do, who listen to the same kind of music we listen to, who live in the same kind of area that we live in, who have the same kind of political views that we have, who maybe have the same kind of amount of money that we do, right? And we compare, don't we? We compare all the time. And comparisons, what do they do? Well, they tend to do one or two things. Tend to lead to envy or to judgment. It fuels the fire for envy or a tendency to judge. When we look at people in different situations, we look at someone who's married or divorced or single, and if we're not in that position, we wonder, why is that person in that position in their life? They must, you know, they must not have as much going on for them as I do. Even, you know, I mean, even like a divorced person, you look at somebody, you know, a single person. Certainly a married person, a divorced person, there must have something wrong with them. Certainly singles, I mean, they must really have something going on. They can't find anybody anytime. But we can look down on them. People differ from us in many different ways. I mean, think about it. We have people who differ from us in the movies they watch, like you said. The music that they listen to, how they dress. They go to church.
Sports teams.
They drink alcohol or not. And we can look down on people for some of those things. Or we can kind of look up. They're different. And this was what was happening in the Roman church. So if you have your Bibles, look at verse 3, Romans 14, 3. NIV, reading from that. No, it says, a man who eats everything must not look down on the one who does not. The man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. You see, if we compare, we nullify grace. If we are always comparing, we nullify grace. We kill grace in the church. And before we're able to demonstrate grace, we'll have to get rid of kind of that legalistic tendency, that tendency to always compare and think that we're better. Instead, we're called to be grace givers. What does a grace giver do? They accept others who are different than us. May not agree with them. This doesn't mean you have to agree, okay? But you accept. We allow freedom of convictions that are maybe different than ours. In verse 1, Paul says, accept him whose faith is weak. Now, I can't get into all this, but he's not saying that they're weak, like they don't have any faith. But he says, when you think of them, you think their faith is weak. That's what he's saying. That person's not doing that, or does that? Their faith must not be as strong as I am. So he's basically saying to people, I know this is the attitude you have, so here's what I'm saying. Accept those whose faith you think is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Grace finds pleasure in differences, smiles on where it leaves room for some disagreement on certain things. You know, there was a youth pastor who rushed into a brand new senior pastor's office. He's been there for a week or so. He began to compare and to complain about the worship pastor, and he started this long list of complaints, and the new pastor put a halt to it and said, hold on, before you say more, let's get the worship pastor to come in so you can share these things with him. Well, I brought him in, and he said, you want to share some of these things? And the youth pastor shut up and wouldn't say anything. And so he said, all right, you two step out of the hall and thresh it out. If you can't come in an agreement in 15 minutes, one of you's going to have to leave. 5 minutes later, they're both back. Both were smiling and had resolved their differences. So, you know, they're really small things. Anyways, you know, grace accepts those who are different from us. But, you know, many times, instead of giving grace to one another, grace killer
tries to kill. She's at the school.
Tries to control others. Think about that. How many times have you done that? Maybe just in your own family. Oftentimes, not necessarily a man or a woman thing, but sometimes we try to control others. Many times it comes because we're insecure in ourselves and we don't know God's freedom. Sometimes we try to control through manipulation or sometimes through intimidation. You know, whoever's the loudest gets their way or can influence or cause others to do something different. We can do that often with our kids or our spouse or someone in the church. Many times this kind of person, everything's black and white. There is no gray areas. And the truth is, they want people to live according to their convictions, every single one of their convictions. Because, of course, every single one of their convictions is right. And the truth is, you know what? They could be right. They could be right. It's the things that they believe could be good. But there's no grace to allow others to have a different opinion. And they bully their way, usually verbally, as they attempt to manipulate others to simply go along with what they think is best. That's a huge grace killer. It happens in the church. You know, sometimes we have one or two people who kind of do that. Sometimes it's a senior pastor. Sometimes it's a leader. Sometimes it doesn't have to be anybody in leadership. There's somebody who's been there a long time who's got a big, loud voice and a strong opinion. But a grace giver. Who's a grace giver? We see your pulse as a grace giver allows others to have convictions that may differ from us. And we refuse to dictate to others some of those things. We allow the Lord's freedom to speak to each of our hearts. We agree with Paul in verse 5 and 6. Look at verse 5 and 6 in your Bible, Romans 14. He says, each one of us should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. Both of them are doing what they do, what? To honor God. It wasn't a matter of sin or going against God's truth when one celebrated one day over the other, or when one ate meat or didn't, okay? But there's something important to look at here that I want to remind you of. You know, this isn't talking about sins. Okay? This isn't talking about tolerance for tolerance sake. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about non-essentials of faith. You see, when it comes to God's commands, he said expects us to keep those things. Those are, you know, gray issues. When he says don't get drunk, that's a command. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't covet. You know, all these things. Paul's talking about these gray areas that are, there's many of them, we're going to talk about a few in just a moment. These gray areas of kind of personal conviction. The Bible doesn't give a, do this, don't eat meat, you know, that kind of thing. God allows equally godly people to have different opinions on certain matters. But unfortunately, for some of us grace killers, we simply judge those who are different than us. And it's easy to judge and criticize. Sometimes we do it outwardly. Maybe for many of us, we just do it inwardly. I know that's me. You know, I'm not rude enough to say it to your face, but I'll think it inside. Maybe whisper it to somebody else who agrees with me. How do we treat those who are different from us in different areas? Like, how about like this? And you know, let's bring it back right to where we are in the 21st century. Bring it back to our church, to our community. How do we treat those who are different, disagree with us, like in the type of clothes that they or someone has tattoos or piercings? It's kind of a big deal these days. What about those who drink alcohol? Go to certain movies? Or even judging, you know, those who drive certain cars or live in particular houses in a particular area or maybe go to the casino, buy a lottery ticket. Or those who work on Sunday. Here was a big one, it still is, I know for some people, where you send your kids to school. Man, it was a big thing when we were, our kids were young. Public school, private school, homeschool, you know? Everybody, you know, there's one way to do it. We're going on a certain vacation, something like that. Any of those things that kind of, you have a strong opinion about, that's okay. What about those who are different? It's easy to kind of have that judgmental attitude toward those who have a different opinion. Dodie Gadiens was a school teacher for 13 years. She decided to go and travel across the U.S. to kind of see the different places she was teaching these kids and just have a vacation. She was single and traveling alone in a truck with a trailer in tow. She kind of launched out and she was traveling, and part of her travels took her through California, Sacramento. She was on I-5 in Sacramento. It was actually rush hour, and all of a sudden her water pump gave out. Water starts pouring out and stuff. She pulls over to the side with her trailer and truck. She was tired at that time. It was in the evening, exasperated. She was alone, a little bit scared. In spite of all the traffic going by, no one seemed interested in stopping to help her. Leaning up against her trailer, she's a Christian, she prayed, "Please, God, like, send me an angel, preferably one with mechanical experience." She, you know, she kind of prayed this prayer. She wanted somebody to stop, and within 4 minutes, someone stopped. And there was a huge Harley that drove up, ridden by this enormous man with this long hair and this huge, bushy beard. And he hopped off his motorcycle, kind of just glanced at her real quick, saw the steam and stuff coming out of the truck, and went over and began working on the truck right away. After a few minutes, he flagged down a larger truck and attached a tow chain to the frame of the disabled truck, and they drove it over to the side, got it off the freeway to a side road, and he went back to work on it. Well, the intimidated school teacher was kind of too scared to even talk to him. And she hardly said a word, especially when she saw, as he turned around and saw the words on the back of his leather jacket said, "Hell's Angels, California." As he finished his task, it's interesting, she finally got the courage to, of course, say, "Thank you." And she kind of had a brief conversation with him, you know, his little chit-chat there. Noticing her surprise at the whole ordeal, he kind of paused for a moment. He looked her in the eye and just kind of quietly mumbled, "Don't judge a book by its cover. Sometimes you don't really know who's behind that mask. Sometimes you don't always know who you're talking to." He smiled. That was the last thing he said. Smiled, got back on his Harley, vroom, vroom, and took off as quickly as he had appeared. Yeah, smile to yourself. So, thanks, Lord. You know, I think we all agree it's pretty easy to judge others pretty quickly on a lot of different things. And we can develop a judgment, a condemning attitude. And maybe it's not even like really hard condemning, but we condemn in our hearts. Or sometimes even to others. But listen to Paul's response, verses 9 to 13. Romans 14, 9 to 13. Says, "For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So that each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. A grace giver realizes that I'm not the judge. God is. And the truth is, there's so many things that limit correct judgments, isn't there? You know, especially people that we don't really know. I mean, the truth is, a lot of things, we don't know the facts, do we? We can't see the surface of what's going on. We don't know their motives. Bring that judgment to mind. The truth is, we can't always be objective. We always think we're all objective, right? Not objective. But you know what? Some of us, all of us, have blind spots, and for us, we probably have some prejudice perspective from our life that we were raised with, and maybe we're even blind to that. Some of us are blind to our weaknesses, our prejudices sometimes. Most of all, the truth is, we are imperfect and inconsistent. And so we need to, in those kind of things, we leave the judgment to God. Leave that judgment to God and kind of remember that we're not going to judge. Sometimes, though, the tables turn. Those of us, kind of look at the other way, those of us who have freedom in certain areas can become grace killers, too. It's not just the legalist or the one who has kind of a judgmental attitude. Sometimes it's us. See, grace killer can also, we can be a grace killer by flaunting our freedom, right? There's some people like this. Sometimes I'm like this. God's grace and freedom is never to be rubbed into the, you know, rub the nose of someone into it. Our freedom. Look what I can do, and you can't. Yeah. I feel sorry for you, and you can't do this. I can. Listen to a paraphrase, actually, verse 16 to 18. It says, Paul says, nothing that is specifically designated as evil in. Okay, let me get it right. Nothing that is not specifically designated as evil in Scripture is evil. But rather a matter of one's personal preference or taste. So let it be. Even if you personally would not do what another person is doing, let it be. And you who feel the freedom to do so, here's the key. Don't flaunt it. Don't mock those who disagree. We're in the construction business, not destruction. You see, a grace giver expresses their freedom wisely. It's not with pride. I'm better than you. I can do this if you can't, you know. I can do this. I can drink alcohol and not get, and feel free to that. You choose not to drink alcohol. So I'm better than you. I've had people who look down at me. So I'm one of those that I have chosen not to drink alcohol. And I don't judge those who do. But I've had it the other way. Right? And my kids have had some of those things as well. A different thing, different times. But a grace killer can flaunt their freedom. Just because you have a freedom to do certain things, maybe other believers don't feel free to do, you don't make a big deal out of it, you don't put them down for it. If you choose to go to a certain movie that others feel they don't want to go to, or if you can have a glass of wine or a cold beer, or buy that new entertainment center, or send $5,000 to a mission somewhere in the other part of the world, you don't flaunt it. Make a big deal out of it. You live in God's grace. Live by God's grace and have your focus on God. Don't look down on others who you think maybe are legalists. Well, that person's legalist because they don't drink. They don't go to those movies or they don't whatever. Instead, show grace. Mature people don't flaunt their freedom. See, we need grace to differ on some of those things. Paul concludes the discussion. Look at verse 19 to 22 in the Bible. He says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, to building each other up. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food or anything else, those kind of things. All food is clean. But it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. See, grace killers have that mindset. Basically, that it leads to hurting and destroying God's work. They don't really care what other people think. They just want people to know what they think. What they do. But a grace giver leads to peace and building up a church. You don't do anything that's going to tear down the church or that's going to cause somebody to stumble. Okay? It's pretty easy for us to compare, right? Or to control others, to judge others who are simply different from us, whether it's the way they look, the way they live. God calls us to take the grace that we've received, the grace of Christ, and to express it, give it out to those around us, especially those in the church. We're to be grace givers, accepting those who are different from us, like the James and the Bridgets, who may walk into our church. Allow others to have different convictions, maybe, than you have, and not throwing down the judgment gavel simply because somebody has a different opinion than you. Now again, I want to end this, just remind us again, this is not about being wishy-washy about the truths of God or about sin, okay? The truths and the absolutes of God's word. It's not a tolerance for tolerance sake. It's not a license to sin, okay? God's word says certain things are wrong. Those aren't things that are up for debate, okay? We're talking about those nonsense of the faith. Having an ability to have grace to differ in those non-essentials. And sometimes, quite honestly, for some of us, we kind of work through, okay, what is this a non-essential or not a non-essential? So here's the key. Will we be a grace giver or a grace killer? Will we have the grace to differ with those around us? Especially God's talking about the church. He's talking about to one believer, to another, especially. May we be a church that has grace to differ, and a church that is truly those who give out grace. Amen? Amen.